Wow, God has given such power to men to do these works. You know, Jesus had people following him, groups, in large groups like that. It's always just feeds off itself. Verse 9, and as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him. Receipt of custom is where the, you know, customs and duties and taxes are paid on goods and so on and so forth. He was a tax gatherer. Tax gatherers were very despised in the time of Jesus. They were Jews. Because what the Romans would do is they would use local people, the people of the same nations that they conquered, to gather the taxes for them. People who knew the people. People who would find it easier to do it. It just was easy to hire people. And they were always willing, right? There's always people willing to work with your enemy and become a gatherer of taxes over you. They were seen as dishonest because the way they earned their keep, tax gathering, was that they would actually charge a little more than what was due. That was their part. And of course, that caused even greater resentment. You know, the taxes were higher because of the tax gatherers. And the tax gatherers were given a certain amount of leeway in how much they would gather from people. That's in the next verse we're going to read. Publicans. Publicans were tax gatherers. They're considered traitors because of the fact that they worked for the enemy. They profited off of the enemy. Remember, the Jews were not willing subjects of the Romans. They were conquered. They were conquered people. They didn't want to be subject to these heathen people and their heathen gods. And the Romans were sensitive to these issues, and they made a lot of accommodations for the Jews. And they used local people to collect the taxes, to take the face of Rome off of it. And it worked to an extent because a lot of the anger was deflected at the publicans. Or some of the anger, at least. It is certain that none of their brethren had much love for those who had served who served Caesar and collected Caesar's taxes. This man Matthew. Matthew is an Aramaic name. You know, he was a Jew, by no doubt at all. He was sitting at his thing and he says to him, follow me. That's why Jesus comes and calls people. He just says, you follow me. They don't, you know, that is how he called so many of them. He just walks up to them and says, follow me. And they get up and do it. It's pretty remarkable. He just got up and followed him. It doesn't say whether he had any knowledge of him or not, so I can't speculate any further on that. This is the way, and Matthew, being the writer of this gospel, that's how he remembered it. He said to me, follow me. And I went. Verse 10, and it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with the publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they which be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what this meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast? Well, we'll leave that verse out. Let's just cover these couple verses here. I've come not to call the righteous, but sinners. He's eating with sinners in the house of Matthew. We presume that's whose house is being spoken of. He says, Matthew, follow me, and then, why else would all these publicans and sinners? Because he's the only recorded publican in the apostleship. I mean, he took a tax collector and made him into a gospel writer. Now, that's remarkable. He takes people from sometimes from very unlikely places, or seemingly unlikely, unlikely to the eyes of men, because men judge after the outward appearance. With man, you know, you do something like become an aider of the enemy. It is unforgivable. You know, it's like taking a Nazi collaborator. I mean, I'm not exaggerating either. Taking a Nazi collaborator for a disciple. It would seem, to the people of Jesus' time, it would seem that offensive. And they were eating with these people. And the Pharisees, remember, the Pharisees are the religious authorities of the time. They taught the law. Remember, before I talked about the scribes and Pharisees, the scribes. You know, those are people who are the teachers of the law. They are educated in the Torah, the law of the Old Testament. And so the Pharisees also, they're looking. You know, they are people who pride themselves on their righteousness and on following the law strictly, as God ordained to Moses, that they should be very careful to not to transgress any of the commandments. And they were very careful about it. They were meticulous. Jesus finds fault with it, though, in their methods. Because, as he said, you've heard that it says it will not kill. Well, I'm going to bring you to something greater, a greater righteousness. Because by the letter of the law, men find loopholes so that they can maintain their sins. But they say, I fulfill the letter of the law, so I'm righteous. And they think they're right. And they think that God is impressed. They think that God is approving of them because they've followed the letter of what he says. And then, you know, look but don't touch. You know, I'll use it as an example because they think, oh, well, I never commit adultery. I'm upright in the sight of God. But they excuse themselves and they don't even consider that, yeah, well, I maybe looked at John's wife a few times. Gosh, she's pretty. And, you know, and they looked after her, even to lust. As far as that, and they would think in themselves, I have no sin, because the law only says you will not commit adultery, you will not lie with a beast, you will not lie with another man, that says nothing concerning thou shalt not admire someone pretty. But Jesus says, no, that also is sin. Jesus is saying, the whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And he's not really even, you know, people, is he saying they are righteous? Well, they have a form of righteousness. They have an outward righteousness. Later on, he says, they're like whited sepulchres. They indeed appear outwardly righteous to men, but within they are full of corruption and uncleanness, of hypocrisy and iniquity. In their hearts is sin and wickedness.